Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing some pretty cool video game music, and I hope you enjoy. Have a great listen, and hope you enjoy. So, sometimes in these BitNote shows, I have a really nice theme that I go with and keep everything consistent, but I think on this occasion I'll just keep throwing video game music at you and hope you have a listen. I'm going to start out with a game that was kind of released, it feels a little more recently released than it actually was, but still kind of recent. It's from Nintendo Land, the launch game from the Wii U. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. And what you've just heard there was Nintendo Land. It was it was made by Nintendo, and essentially it was, as I said, a launch title for the Wii U. What you heard there was the main plaza, and it was composed by Ryo Nagamatsu, who's done a lot of other Nintendo video games and such. And by the way, main plaza's got a lot of different themes. It's got like a night theme and an evening theme and a variation which is all retro, so it's kind of cool how it does that. Nintendo Land was meant to be like for the Wii U what Wii Sports was to the original Wii. In other words, it was meant to be a fun, accessible game that would get everyone playing and having a great time. Didn't quite work out like that, and I could go into a bit of a discussion about the sales of the Wii U, but I tend to like to just focus on the games, on the experience of the games itself, so I'll do that. Now, one thing that kind of makes things a little... One of the things that came as a result of me growing up in Ireland was the fact that I didn't grow up in America, obviously enough. But this is kind of relevant when it comes to video games, because I do a lot of like socializing or chatting or discussing video games online. And yes, there's a strong American slant on it. The problem is that America has a very, very different, you know, attitude to, well, a different attitude, but also a different history about it. I mean, if I was walking along and talked to someone, you know, maybe I could share over their bonding of Sonic. And in America, I could still possibly do that, find people who like Sonic and bond over it. But in America, it was basically the entire landscape was a bit different. Different consoles and different games got priority. One example is, of course, just basically Nintendo as a whole. I mean, here in Ireland, back in the early 90s, Sega and Nintendo were kind of on equal or even footing for quite a while, and they were, and you know, Sonic actually really made a lot of headway here. Whereas in America, Nintendo was always seen as the default thing, and it's even said that to this day, you know, American mothers still consider, you know, Nintendo to mean any sort of computer gaming device, although, you know, that's just kind of a stereotype and everything. But it does make it a little tricky, because, I mean, I was trying to, like, go on an internet forum and talk to others about my show, and they just said that a lot of the music I played was a bit, they said that essentially a lot of the stuff I was doing was kind of like obscure, and I didn't consider it to be that obscure because, I mean, this was stuff that I'd grown up with, and sorry, I seem to have lost my train of thought there. Long story short, I'm not a huge fan of Nintendo stuff. I grew up as a Sega boy, and whereas in America they're crazy about Nintendo, and essentially that's one of the reasons why Nintendo Land doesn't quite appeal to me. It's not that it's a bad game or anything, it's just that the whole nature of the game is kind of like a greatest hits compilation, like a collection of a lot of really classic, really great things, everything from Metroid, which was a game I never really played that much of, and Zelda, which is a series I've kind of played, but never really gotten into, and a bunch of others like Balloon Flight and stuff, which I never really played, and there was a bit of, I did like the Donkey Kong thing. Essentially, Nintendo Land is a bunch of mini-games. Each mini-game is based on a classic Nintendo franchise, and the idea is that people just pick up the game, have a bit of fun, and just basically enjoy themselves. As you can see, that was the name Nintendo Please. If you're really a fan of Nintendo, then it's pretty good. It's got a lot of good, you know, callbacks and series things and everything from a lot of crazy, you know, and Nintendo is good at leveraging the old property and old nostalgia factor, especially with their Super Smash Brothers crossover. But yeah, I liked it. I thought Nintendo Land was a pretty good game, and I think that tune is pretty catchy. So, I'm going to move on now. I've played on a previous show, I played Katamari Damacy Music for the last two shows, and I thought it was pretty cool. But I think I'm going to play another track. Yes, I know. It's just music from Katamari Damacy really is that good. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy.
はっ。 めてみた。落ち込んだ、悔しくなってとことん泣いてみた。カモン。考えた、寝転んだ、空見て落ち着きを取り戻した。眺めてた、目に入れた、そうやって株月が眩しかった。でかくした、育んだ、大きな綺麗な星にした。よっ、ゲラ。頑張った、努力した、相手だけの力を出し切った。よ
っ、危機感を感じ立ち上がる、心の壁を取り払い、自由なマインドと溢れるソウル、スピリットを心に宿した、力を合わせて頑張れる、みんなで一つのことを成し遂げるために、お互いを褒めたたえた。今までより一回り大きくなった。
ネガティブな話題を口にするな。辛くても進むことをやめるんじゃない。ピースなバイブレーションでアークを描き、このアースに負けないオブジェを作れ。チゲダマファンキーだ、みんな黙って俺についてこい。イエチゲダマファンキーだ、みんな必死で俺についてこい。カモン。チゲダマファンキーだ、みんな黙って俺についてこい。イエチゲダマファンキーだ、みんな必死で俺についてこい。カモン。チゲダマファンキーだ、みんな黙って俺についてこい。イエチゲダマファンキーだ、みんな必死で俺についてこい。カモン。チゲダファンキーだ、みんな黙って俺についてこい。イエチゲだファンキーだ、みんな必死で俺についてこい。カモン。
Hello, and that was a pretty nice Katamari Damacy tune. It was The Moon and the Prince by Akita Toyohoma, with vocals by Kenji Numaha, and Funima did the chorus, and it's from Katamari Damacy by Namco. I've talked about Katamari Damacy on the show before. Essentially, you are a small prince trying to recreate all the stars in the sky by rolling up small amount of stuff so that it becomes a big amount of stuff, and generally causing chaos as a gigantic bundle of stuff starts rolling down the streets, collecting everything in its path. It's very much, it's been described like a snowball, where you start small and gradually get bigger and bigger. And it's also set notable for its very sort of surreal and fun sense of humour, as well, of course, as also its great soundtrack. So, I think I've talked about Katamari Damacy quite a lot in this show. Why don't I move on to another game that I actually haven't talked about in quite a while. I'm talking about Skies of Arcadia. I'll just play the tune. I came across some of the background music for one of the parts of the game once, and I just suddenly, it all came back to me about how great and atmospheric the music was and how much it felt, made me feel like I was there. So, what I'm about to play is the Kingdom Exactica, and have a listen and hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
And what you just heard there was the Kingdom of Ixataka theme. It was composed by Yutaka Minobi and Tatsuyuki Maeda from Skies of Arcadia by Sega. Tatsuyuki has actually had a pretty long history with a lot of great Sega and game music, so and definitely it shows his experience in this track. Honestly, when I think of this track, it just kind of takes me back to that whole area. Skies of Arcadia is essentially a pirate RPG where instead of sailing the seas, you are sailing the skies in a bunch of floating ships and exploring all these floating continents and floating islands, going on a great adventure, while meanwhile an evil empire has some quite not the best intentions going on, and you somehow you end up kind of conflicting them in a couple of ways. It starts with a princess being on the run before being captured by a great big ship, and in the first mission of the game, you as a bunch of sky pirates attack the ship and end up saving the princess in the process. Of course, that's just the beginning of things, and trust me, this girl whose name is Luna is no damsel in distress. She pretty much quickly joins your team and becomes a really great member of the cast. In fact, basically it's you become a trio. There's Vice the Sky Pirate and his friend from childhood. She's pretty cool as well. And of course, there's the princess. And the trio just really form a great bond of friendship. And not only that, they end up getting on these really cool vehicles and flying machines that take them all across this gigantic and expansive area, going to all these different areas that are like some that are all under different moons that give them different themes and such as the desert moon, such as one moon that turns everything under the continent under it into a desert area, another a green one that turns everything into lush and tropical vegetation. I mean, it starts with, you know, small missions, but it seems that you're going to try to save the world and going on a great big quest for adventure, seeing all these new crazy sorts of places, and it's just a really, really fun game as well. What you've heard of there was the Kingdom of Ixataka, and it's a place you encounter relatively early on in the game, but considering that this game can last for tens of hours, and some of it being not particularly good turn-based boss fights, then it still is a fair bit into the game. Essentially, you discover this whole, like, Aztec-like area. We're talking, like, full, like, tropical and Amazonian-like style theming. Everything kind of like Inca and Aztec sort of thing. And I know there are two different civilizations, but that's the sort of thing you're going to. So you're walking around these big trees, and you're seeing these great vistas, and you're talking with all these, like, native, you know, tribes people who are going on and everything. And it's fun. And at one stage, even you climb to the top of a tree, and then you jump on this slide, and you go sliding all the way down this nice little tree, and as the area goes by, and I just love little things like that. And meanwhile, you're talking with the natives and trying to, you know, get on your next mission thing to find your next item, and it's just beautiful. And I mean, just that hearing that music brings all back the atmosphere. You know, getting good music track can so really get a sense of place and get a sense of theme and everything. And without a shadow of a doubt, that music really helps make it work for this. And that's the Kingdom of Ixataka. And one part I always liked about that level was that there were a couple of kids there, and it's kind of funny because part of the little sub story that happens while you're there is about how there are two groups of people, and they're opposed to each other, and through your actions there, you help them, you know, reconcile with each other. And you know, that's kind of, you know, a cheesy kind of hammy thing about, you know, it's working best, but it just what I liked about it was that one stage you find these kids, and you're finding one group of kids and another, and they say, you know, they, my mom won't let me play with them because they're afraid of these kids, and I want to play with them. And like, it's like you had this, you know, child from one tribe wanting to play with the others, but of course the parents with the prejudices were getting in the way, and it's the old, you know, kids are so innocent thing. But after, and it's kind of sad, but then after you complete the stuff, suddenly you find that the kids has, you know, said mom's okay, and they're all playing and they're having games, and both tribes are kind of learning from each other and just saying, you know, it's all so good after all. So I mean, I know that, you know, give peace a chance is always kind of cheesy, but it's true. And I liked how the game was just showing, you know, through the innocence of kids, of just trying to play and get along, and why do we need to have differences with each other. I just thought it was a very nice little cute little message. Okay, before I go, I've got another one last track for you guys. And to be honest, I kind of picked this next track completely, you know, almost randomly, I'd say. I didn't actually mean for this show to have a theme. But it turns out that this next track, which is from Sonic Advance, which was developed by Sonic Team and Dimps, was also made by the exact same composers of Kingdom of Itaxa, Skies of Arcadia. The same composers, of course, being Yutaka Minobi and Tatsuyuki Maeda. So apparently, you know, around that time, that few years of the Dreamcast, now they are from around about the same time period, you know, this is from 2001 and Skies of Arcadia was released about 2000-2001, so clearly they're both in Sega, and so at one stage they were making games for an epic RPG, and then they're making it for Sonic Advance, which is essentially Sonic's first foray into a Nintendo platform. I said earlier in the show, and yes, I seriously didn't intend this theme to crop up, but there you go, that Sega and Nintendo had a huge, you know, conflict or war or, you know, epic, you know, sort of Pepsi versus Coca-Cola sort of thing, especially in the 90s. And, you know, I was firmly on the Sega side, which meant that I wasn't that knowledgeable or that, you know, keen on a lot of Nintendo stuff, than the fact that, of course, I was living in Ireland, which didn't promote, which, of course, Sega had much of a stronger foothold in. But the thing is, though, this rivalry existed while both those made consoles. And of course, as I may have talked about on the show before, tragically in 2001, the Sega Dreamcast, Sega decided that the Sega Dreamcast would be its last console, and that it would go platform agnostic, meaning that it wouldn't just develop games for its own platforms like the Mega Drive or Saturn or Sega Dreamcast or Game Gear, not that, you know, many of those consoles were around anymore, but it would just make games for whatever platform, and they've been like that way since, which was always sad. But it did mean that Sega games went into other platforms, and Sonic, which had previously been a mascot for, which previously his rivalry for Mario had been like, you know, the stuff up, you know, Legends, was now on a Nintendo platform, specifically the Game Boy Advance. This was the Game Boy Advance came between the Game Boy Color and also the Game Boy SP, you know, sorry, the the Nintendo DS. Yeah, DS, sorry. Yeah, and Game Boy Advance SP was a slightly different thing, but it was still a Game Boy Advance. I know, Nintendo did have a lot of, like, versions of its Game Boys. But no, the Game Boy Advance was, like, the last Game Boy before Nintendo tried to take a crazy bet on a dual screen, and then it turned out to work out. But in this time, Game Boy Advance was a lot of fun, and Sonic Advance was on it. It was kind of a mix of the classic Sonic Mega Drive platforming from the early 90s, and also it included, like, elements of modern Sonic games of Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2 at the time, such as Sonic having green eyes and be able to grind on rails. It's a pretty fun game. It's a platformer, you select multiple characters, and you go off and have a lot of fun. I liked it. It was kind of a nice callback. I noticed a couple of bosses in the game that were ripped from, like, early Mega Drive games, but I mean, Sonic does have its share of callbacks, and you know, it was fun just to play as multiple characters and all which had some pretty neat moves. So leaving the show on that, I think I'll leave you with the Sonic Advance credits track. As I've said, it was composed by Yutaka Minobe and Tatsuyuki Maeda, and who also, of course, did the Skies of Arcadia soundtrack. And the game was developed by Sonic Team and Dimps. Dimps having a large role in a lot of the future Sonic Advance games, and in fact, many of the portable Sonic games, even leading into Sonic Rush. So with that, I shall leave you. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you very much for listening.